listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message. So I know everybody likes my new jacket that I'm wearing, and everyone's wondering where they can get one just like this one. And the answer is you can't have one like this one because this one was knitted by my neighbour Dot. So some of you know Dot. She's a bit of a matriarch in this community. She's related to everyone. She's a grandma. She's a great-grandma. I think she might even be a great-grandma, so she's very much part of the community here in Taparu. But she's also my neighbour, and she often comes around to my house, and she often brings me something random that she's found in a cupboard and asks me if I would like it. And most of the time, I very graciously say, no, thank you, Dot, but thank you. But when she came and brought me this, I actually said, thank you, and I took it. So I've never worn it. I don't ever plan on wearing it. And it was actually in the cupboard, and I'd completely forgotten about it. Until Friday night, when I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't stop thinking, and Dawn knows where this is going, I couldn't stop thinking about this jumper that Dot had knitted. And there's a reason why I couldn't stop thinking about the jumper. So last week, Dawn actually shared, can you concentrate with me wearing this? Is it a bit distracting? A bit too bright and colourful for me? Well, that's okay with me, Dot. That's okay. I mean, Jean, sorry. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it will be. It's a very sensible jacket for winter. So I woke up in the middle of the night and I was thinking about this jumper. Okay, last week, Dawn shared a prophetic encouragement with me and she used the word unraveled to describe something, okay? The word unraveled. And then during the week, I had two other occasions where someone I knew on Facebook and then someone else I knew who was quite prophetic actually shared something that had this term unraveled or unraveling in it. And I thought, God, I think you're trying to tell me something. And I felt to share it today because I felt like it wasn't just for me, that it was actually an encouragement for all of us. That sometimes, you know, God does want to unravel the things that we have in our lives. And so the point is, when Dawn shared this word unraveling, the first thing I thought of was someone losing their mind, you know, someone kind of having a mental breakdown. I was like, no, Dawn, don't prophesy that over me. That's not really what I'm after. But then she gave this beautiful picture of what it meant for God to unravel something. And so the picture Dawn gave was of a jumper. And so, you know, when a jumper like this, because it's knitted, right, it gets like a pull in it and you just keep pulling and pulling and pulling and the jumper becomes completely unraveled until it's this big pile of wool on the floor. Okay, so that's bad, but that wool that's been completely unraveled can be knitted into a whole new jumper. It can be knitted into something new. And that actually is what God is in the process of doing. He's unraveling us, you know, and it's the same kind of concept as, you know, the branch. You know, when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So, and this concept of us cutting off and pruning those dead branches to make way for the new life or to make way for the growth, that's the same concept as this kind of unraveling and what this process is. So John 13 verse 3 to 4 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer garment and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was around him. So in that scripture, Jesus removed his outer garment. Okay, and that doesn't sound like something significant. It's way more significant than I've got time to go into today. But the point is that the removal of this outer garment was actually an act of humility. Because Jesus, he's the Son of God, but he's also this teacher. It was actually the disciples' kind of role to wash his feet, right? But instead, he kind of casts off this robe in order to make himself less than and to get down and to wash their feet. He was basically casting off these kind of social rules or these expectations of who he was supposed to be in order to show the very nature of God, which is to serve and to love. So what are our outer robes? What are our outer robes? What have we covered ourselves with that holds us back from responding to God, responding to others with the same love and humility and grace and compassion that Jesus did in that scripture. You know, and what are those outer garments? You know, sometimes they're the things that, you know, we put on to protect ourselves, okay? You know, we put them on to cover ourselves, just like Adam and Eve kind of covered their shame and their nakedness. They covered themselves. We put it on to protect ourselves. We put it on because it's comfortable, or we put it on and then it becomes something that's comfortable. But sometimes the things that we might kind of cover ourselves with, or the things that we hold on to, are things like pride or identity that we get from other sources and not from who we are in Christ. You know, it can be, you know, judgment of others. Sometimes we hold on to these ideas really, really tightly. Sometimes we hold on to private wounds and insecurities, and they're actually obstacles to us actually getting down on our knees in humility to truly serve others and be like Jesus. You know, what do we need to allow God to start unraveling for us? You know, what do we need to cast off of ourselves? And so I've been challenged, you know, are we prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to actually do that work in us as well? You know, I often think that this jumper is actually really hot, and these jumpers are warm, right? You know, they're comfortable, and sometimes I think we get comfortable with things that we actually need to confront, and sometimes they become like these warm little friends that we actually do need to cast off. You know, is there something in our lives that we've become really comfortable with that we actually need to confront, something that we actually need to cast off? And are we prepared to humble ourselves like Jesus did and just get down on our knees, cast off those outer garments, get down on our knees to really love and serve others? That process of unraveling, it actually might be really messy, though. I think that was the part I didn't like about the word that Dawn had for me, was that whole sense of unraveling this. You know, it's going to be a big pile of mess on the floor, right? Okay, but the point is that God can actually take that pile of mess and he can knit it into a new jumper, and it's going to be better than the one that we've knitted for ourselves. So I hope that's an encouragement. And I would love to pray with anyone who actually really felt that that was for them afterwards as well. So, yeah.
Thanks, Tara. We actually, you may or may not be aware, Jeremy was supposed to preach today, and that obviously fell through. So we thought, who can we pull together just to share something that's on their heart? And we actually had very little idea of what we were going to share about, but actually what Tara shared is a great foundation leading into what I'm going to share, and hopefully Alan can build off of that as well. But I guess what Tara said there is there's stuff that we hang on to, and that does, sometimes we believe that it's good for us, it's what we need, but I guess what I'm going to be sharing is that we need to die to many things in our life that we hang on to. We need to kill them sometimes. Other times we just need to die. And that's what I'm going to be sharing about. So in youth last night, we played this cool little game that's kind of been on the young people's social media, TikTok, all that stuff lately. And it's basically a game where you get a very large container. I guess it's like a water version of Jenga to some degree. Now, Jericho, can you come and help me out? Because the Hammond family's really copped it from me lately. Last night we were playing this game, and as Jericho came up, he just slightly knocked the table and spilled the last bit of water, so he didn't get a chance to do it properly. So Jericho, I'm going to give that a good little... It's quite amazing. That's pretty much full, you'd probably agree from there. Jericho, just have a little go at just tipping a little bit more in. Okay, we're pretty much at the brim there. Go again. All right, that'll do. We're still at the brim and we haven't tipped over yet. Okay, go again and just be careful. Don't put your glass back down because I can see we're very, very close. Have another go. Okay, we're still at the brim. Have one more go. Incredible. Okay, that'll do. It still hasn't gone over, amazingly. Probably if you put that glass down, it might be enough. So this is a great new game. Do this at home, and whoever is the one that makes the water spill has to do whatever the job of the night is. So dishes, vacuuming, whatever it may be, it's a really fun game. I saw these young people play, and whoever lost had to be thrown in a pool on a very cold day. So that was a good circumstance. But I saw this game and I thought, oh, that'd be a great game to do for youth. And just around that time, I was doing our readings from John, and I came across John 2. And it got me thinking about this link between overflowing and the story in John 2, which is where Jesus turns water into wine. And it got me just thinking about this whole concept of what overflows in my life. what flows out of me? Is it water or is it wine? And if we can bring my PowerPoint up, Juge. I'm not sure if it's Juge up the back. Can't see Caleb. There you are. Hello. There we go. So it made me think about what's inside of me and what flows out of me. Am I full of his spirit? Am I half full or am I empty? Or am I very full of myself? Am I half full of myself or am I empty of myself and I'm just totally living for Jesus? It got me thinking about that. So John 2 is where we find this story of Jesus turning the water into wine. If you can jump ahead, Caleb, we'll just have a little picture there. That's Jesus turning the water into wine. And it's a well-known story, and it's known most famously for being the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. And a lot of people have taken that and kind of given it their own meaning. So some people have said, well, it's just the first miracle. Other people have said it shows that Jesus was a really cool guy because he loved parties. Other people have said this proves that Jesus says we should all drink alcohol because his first act was involved alcohol. So people have kind of taken this story in all different directions. But there's a very deep truth and there's a very deep lesson in this story for all of us. And it's quite incredible because we're kind of led along the path that this miracle almost never happened. Because if you remember, Mary came to Jesus and said, we've got a problem. They've run out of wine. Now, in that culture at that time, running out of wine at a wedding was embarrassing. You've probably had meals at your home sometimes where, like, everyone's dug in and there's nothing left and not everyone's got food. And you're kind of like, it's embarrassing, isn't it? It kind of feels bad. Well, this is what happened at the wedding. And Mary confronted Jesus. And Jesus kind of, I don't know what the best translation is, but the translation we often see is, woman, my time has not yet come, which is not a great way to speak to your mother. You young guys, I don't encourage you to use that sort of language towards your mother. It may not end well. But that's effectively what he said. My time has not yet come. Yet he agrees and goes ahead and performs this incredible miracle. And like I said, it kind of reminded me of this game. It got me thinking about what flows out of us and specifically what flows out of me. Okay, so there's a big lesson, something extraordinary that Jesus is doing here. He's showing us that he can turn plain old water into wine. Now, there's a brilliant message on this story from Joe Habermill, who's the state chairman of the CRC. And if anyone's interested, I'd love to share the link with you. It's probably one of the most key messages I've heard in the last couple of years, which has really taught me a lot about the new creation message, which is really huge for Christians to understand that we are a new creation. And yet, I don't think we preach on it anywhere near enough. And quite often, we attack, as preachers, behavior. You need to do this, or God wants us to be like this. But really, the new creation message is very different, and it's a message we need to preach strongly. But what Jesus is showing us in this story is that he can transform us, and he can turn water into wine. And in us, he can do a great work in what he does with our flesh and living in the spirit. So he can turn us from living by the flesh, our instinctive, our unconscious emotions and responses and reactions, he can change us from living that way to living by his spirit. See, when we decide that we want to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus, our call ultimately is to die to ourself and to be raised to new life in him. That's really the expectation. Just die to yourself and allow my spirit to transform you. That means that we die to our flesh and we choose to live by his spirit. So my question is, are you dead today? Are we dead? That's a really weird question, and it probably sounds a bit strange, but that's ultimately what every Christian has to get to the point to. It's, am I dead to myself, and am I living for Christ? Because that's what Christ calls us to. That's what his expectation is of us, that if we want to follow him, it's not just about tacking Christianity and values and beliefs on top of your everyday life. It's about dying to yourself and living for him. Paul talks a lot about this in Romans, and we'll just look at two texts today, Romans 6 and Romans 8. So Romans 6, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And the translation of that is really quite deep, where it says, count yourselves dead. It's basically kind of a bit like when you do your taxes, like you look at it all, or if you're doing your budget, you look at it all and you go, you know what? I look at all of this, I'm dead. That's not a joke about not having money and being poor and being in debt. But it's basically like, account for yourself, do all the sums and work out that you are dead. That's kind of what the expectation is. Let's look at the next one, Romans 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So these are the things that we're being called to die to the old way of living and instead live a life governed by the Spirit. So being governed by the Spirit means that is your ruling authority. That is what you put your hope and faith and trust in, his Spirit. So in this story, Jesus transforms the water to wine instantly, which is quite amazing. Because if you think about the process that you'd think about that would have to happen for that, it's quite detailed. Water is H2O, very simple. Wine is extremely complex, all of the ingredients that are in it and the process that it has to go through, yet it's transformed instantly. And ultimately, that's available for every person who puts their faith in Christ, that the transformation can be instant. You don't have to read a book about seven ways of having victory in your marriage, or you don't have to talk about ways to overcome anger. The Spirit lives in you, and you have the opportunity, if you open yourself to that, for instant transformation. So his Spirit can bring immediate transformation and maturity as well, which is a really interesting thing. That the maturity, and if you think about wine, it goes through a maturation process. If wine doesn't go through a maturation process, it's terrible. But we as Christians, if we submit ourselves to Christ, we can immediately have some maturity in areas of our life. Change can come instantly. Of course, sometimes with big stuff, yes, we need to go through proper counselling and support is wise, but don't underestimate the power of Christ. The things that you've been dealing with for a long time, the issues that you've had in your life for a long time, can be transformed instantly when his Spirit comes upon us. So if you're like me, most days, multiple times, something overflows out of you. And when we started doing this exercise with the youth last night, everyone came up with bad stuff initially, all the bad stuff that flows out of us. And then Jericho spoke about kindness and goodness, that can overflow out of us as well, and that's completely right. If we're living governed by the flesh, our responses will always be fleshy. And if we're living by the Spirit, our responses will be in the Spirit. If you're like me, sometimes you've responded in a very fleshy way and it hasn't gone well. If you've been in a situation like me where someone's just got you on the wrong day, you haven't maybe had enough sleep, or you're frustrated about something else and you've just blurted something out that you'll never be able to take back. Now, forgiveness may come and all of that, but those words are out there once they're out there. Or an angry response, or a not patient response. You know, there's lots of responses that we can have when we operate in the flesh. But when we operate in the Spirit, Christ can give us wisdom. He can give us guidance. He can give us strength. And I've had many times where that's happened, where it's like, where did that come from? That's not how I normally respond. And that's because I've allowed the Spirit to move in me and allowed myself to be open to him. So rest assured, in life, when pressures come, when challenges come, something's going to flow out. But it doesn't have to be a bad response. It can be a great response if we allow his Spirit to move. So we'll respond out of the flesh or from his Spirit. I just thought of a couple of examples of things that can flow out of us. If we can go to the next one, Caleb. So these are some fleshy responses that I deal with, and maybe you do too. Anger, anxiety or fear, revenge, jealousy, selfishness, lying, weakness, hopelessness, hatred, doubt, recklessness, running away. They're quite normal responses when we're faced with pressure, when we're unhappy, when there's stuff going on in our lives. These are very natural responses. Yet, Jesus tells us that if we're in his Spirit, we can respond the completely opposite, effectively unnatural way. Instead of being angry, we can be calm. Instead of having anxiety, we can have trust in him. Instead of seeking revenge, we can pray for that person. Instead of jealousy, thankfulness. Instead of selfishness, selflessness. Instead of lying, truth. Instead of weakness, strength. Instead of hopelessness, being hopeful. Instead of hatred, love. Doubt, confidence. Recklessness, self-control. Running away, confronting. These are all available to us as we open ourselves up to his Spirit. So his resurrection, his victory on the cross says that we already have the victory. We just have to remain in him. And that can be easier said than done. And that's quite often our biggest struggle that we have with understanding this new creation message. If I'm a new creation, if I'm supposed to have been transformed from water to wine, then why do I keep messing up? Why do I still struggle with the things that I've always struggled with? Why is life so hard? Why am I stuck and cannot break through in this area of my life? The answer is to count yourself, and by that I mean your flesh, as dead. Dead to sin, dead to a life that turns to itself for answers, dead to the normal response of looking to the world for answers, but instead being alive in Christ. Counting yourself dead, but alive in Christ. And a life that walks in the fruit of the Spirit, which is submitted to him. And we know the fruit of the Spirit, if we can see those, Caleb. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the biggest mistake I think I made as a believer for many years was thinking that this meant I need to love people, I need to be joyful, I need to be peaceful, I've got to try and do these things. That's not what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is a free gift that can flow out of us. We just have to allow it to happen. And it's actually not trying to love like Jesus loved. It's actually allowing His Spirit, which is in us, to love in that situation as He does love. It's a live, active, happening thing. So it's not trying to do this stuff. And that's where Christians face frustration and quite often just throw in the towel at some point. I keep messing up. I keep not being able to be patient. I'm not loving enough. I'm not gentle. I have no self-control. It's too hard. That's because we're still trying. We're still trying to get the flesh to have victory. If you're like me, your flesh is rubbish. Your flesh is lazy and weak and not resilient and very self-seeking. That's what the flesh is naturally going to do. But His Spirit in us is not like any of that at all. His Spirit can do amazing things through us. So if you're struggling, these are the answer is already within you. His Spirit is in you if you've put your faith in Him. Don't try and be less angry or try and be more loving. Just count yourself dead. Dead to the old ways. Christ is alive in you. Allow Him to live through you. When you're given horrible news, the flesh wants to spiral out of control, doesn't it? And this is a very natural response. When we hear something scary or tragic, our natural response is to go down a spiral. Oh my goodness, oh, what's that going to mean for this? Oh no, I'm going to have to do this. No, that's not the response that we're called to. Now that ain't easy all the time. But if we can just calm ourselves and allow His Spirit to speak to us and talk to us, we'll find we don't go down that path that leads to a whole bunch of not nice things. But we can actually just stay there and know He's with us and He's alongside us every step of the way. Christ isn't fazed when there's bad news, okay? His faith, His peace is in you already. When someone opposes you, let His Spirit show you how to respond. So I guess my challenge is let's live being guided by His Spirit. Remember, we are supposed to be dead. And you'll be amazed in what He does in and through you. Your life will never be the same.
I actually have a sense that there is a Holy Spirit. Because what Tara shared and what Paul shared actually leads very nicely into what I'm going to be trying to share as well. The illustration that I had was many, many years ago when we were Christians, there was a chap who used to, his family was overseas, they were missionaries, and we sort of adopted him, and he used to come to our place, and he would just spend time with us. He loved Coke, he loved food, and it was just a time of, he missed the family that he never had around him. But he would always bring to the table every single time stuff that was happening at university, in life, anywhere and everywhere. He was always bringing it and being down on himself. And this went on for a couple of years. And then one day he rocked up at our place and he was smiling and he was beaming and he was happy. And I said, "What's happened?" He said, "I'm dead." He went to an AOG meeting at Campbelltown, and the evangelist there said, "Unless you die to yourself, nothing's going to change." And so he said that figuratively, after he heard the message, and this was late at night, he went home and dug a small hole as much as he could and buried the old fellow there, and then just covered up with dirt. And from that day on, his outlook changed amazingly, because it was no longer he that was driving everything that was happening around him, but he had a different pair of eyes and he could see things from God's perspective. And so it was a standing joke, "How are you?" "I'm dead." And it was the greatest and most liberating experience that he's ever had. And how does that help us? Well, for those of you that follow on the Lefevre page, I had a ball with John's Gospel. I sat down and 2.5-3 hours, I read it in one slab. And I this is just amazing. It's so cohesive. Little bits hang on and explain what is happening. The other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, are historic accounts. They tell what happened. John actually explains the spiritual element. He explains that when Jesus says, "Unless you eat of my body and drink my blood, you'll have no part of the kingdom." And John actually explains that that is a spiritual reference. so that we understand a spiritual a spiritual aspect. You know, when we consume the bread and the water, the bread and the wine, we should be consumed by Him, so that we are liberated into everything that He has for us. When John says that the living water is the Holy Spirit, you know, we often think of the living water as being Jesus. I am the living water. Well, guess what? God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And John explains that living water is the Holy Spirit, because living water flows here and there, and it goes everywhere. Ever since Jesus went to be with His Father, the Holy Spirit is the one here that is going around and around and around and leading and guiding us. I want to look briefly at promises of John, very briefly, just a few. John 3:16, those who believe shall have eternal life. John 10:10, you shall have life and have it abundantly. 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. And yet the Holy Spirit came. And yet it was Jesus. 16:13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. But I want to have a look at one promise that you may have sort of skipped over, but nevertheless, it's a promise. These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Tests, trials, suffering, endurance, disappointments. We will have those in the world. And here's the part I don't get. But be of good cheer. Come on, Jesus, don't you know what's going on in this world? Don't you know what COVID is causing? Don't you know what the Ukraine and Russian conflict is causing? Don't you know that we've just had a state election and there's another federal election coming up, and that's going to cause chaos for whatever you believe is going to all change? Don't you get it? Be of good cheer. Trust God. Trust Jesus, that His purposes and plans will survive, and not only survive, but will overcome. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And in case we have any doubt that he's actually meaning be of good cheer, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. When was the last time you or I sat down, and when we were deeply conflicted, we thought, hallelujah, I am joyful. Isn't this good? And yet joy is not happiness. Joy, if you remember what Paul said about Jesus, for the joy set before Him, He endured the suffering of the cross. For the joy set before us, we will endure. And James goes on a little bit more and says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work that you may be mature and complete. So when we are faced with trials and temptations and testings and all of that sort of stuff, our focus should be, God, what are you trying to teach me out of this? What is it that I'm not processing well? What is it that I should be processing? What is it that I should be considering? Why have these things befallen me? What is my part in all of this? And what do you expect me to do to get out of it? Rather than, oh, so-and-so, what do they do it? They always do this. Well, first of all, they is a generic term, and always is always wrong. You know, we got to take some responsibility for the way that we think. And this is the whole issue that John is trying to narrow in on. The way we think about things is what it is. There's a beautiful theory in some psychological terms, and it's called attribution theory. And whatever we attribute to something is what we believe that thing is. Like, if I believe that Tara was a great singer, and that's all I believed about her, no matter where I saw her, I would just see a great singer. But when you know Tara, the mum, the worker, the pastor, the minister, the evangelist. Then you can get a whole picture. What do you attribute to Jesus? Did he just come so that he can save you and you can have a party here on earth? Or did he save you with another purpose? And that purpose is to love him deeply. That purpose is to listen to his Holy Spirit and respond to the Holy Spirit in a way that is going to be powerful. The trials and the tribulations that you're going through, there's another beautiful term, theological reflections. When something happens, think back, God, what is it you're trying to tell me about this situation? What message are you sending me? When we actually translate the stuff of life, all that stuff that Paul put up there on the left-hand side, if we process it correctly, we will come on the right-hand side. But we've got to die to self. And we've got to take on the attitude of Christ. Jesus never, ever, ever promised to take away our trials and tribulations. Nor did he promise that we wouldn't have troubles. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us that God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So in the midst of the worst pain, suffering, test, trial, disappointment, Jesus is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, never, never. And he says in John 16:25, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak to you no more in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And since he's gone to be with his Father, we hear plainly, we hear the Holy Spirit. And we can try and understand our trials and tribulations and journeys of life that appear to be messing us up, but are actually building us up in compassion, in understanding. Looking at things from the other person's perspective. All of that stuff that's hard, that's what Jesus wants us to do. But as we link into his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit reveals, so we don't have to struggle and strive all on our own. I share this not to make you feel guilty, but to actually remind us that there's a way forward that is good. Trials, tribulations, suffering, disappointments are going to be with us for the rest of our time here on earth. Always. The thing is, how do we deal with it? How do we choose to see it? How do we choose to process it? How do we choose to not let that act define us? How? By loving God more. By following the example of Jesus our Lord. And by allowing the Holy Spirit to have more access. If you've got the time or make time, I encourage you to set time aside and just read John's Gospel in one slab. It's a good afternoon or a good evening, about 2 or 3 hours, depending on how fast you read and how many notes you take. But it's a beautiful, beautiful explanation of what Jesus was doing and why he was doing that. Are you feeling unraveled? Tests and trials cause that, internal and external. Internal ones, we blame ourselves. External ones, we blame others. Do you need to kill your flesh spiritually? Not figuratively. Do you need to die to self, to your selfish dreams and take on the bigger dreams that Jesus has for you? If we can do that, then we will be ministers of his grace in a way that actually honours and glorifies him. And that is our purpose here on earth, to glorify our Father through Jesus and the Son. Folks, it's a beautiful, beautiful gospel. And I was talking with someone not that long ago, just a week or so ago, and I mentioned, they asked me what I'd been doing, and I said, look, I read John's gospel. I said, oh, yeah, well, you've read that before, haven't you? I said, yeah, but I read it in one sitting intentionally. And they said, ah, no, I don't do that. I got enough trouble analysing my spreadsheets. next time I see that person, I want to say, you've got time to analyse a spreadsheet to death, but you haven't got time to analyse God's word and see what it's saying to you. And I will say that the Holy Spirit has convicted me. It was in a public setting when that person said that, so I couldn't respond in the way I would want to. But they need to know. We need to know. We need to be reminded that God's word is there. Ask, seek, knock. Don't just blindly accept it. That's not what Jesus meant us to do. Because what does it actually mean? When we hear living water, we think, oh yeah, that's Jesus, and yeah, living water, well, yep, that's what he... No, no, no. John actually explains it's the Holy Spirit. And so we can explore and explain what Jesus was doing through John's narrative. So I think it's time that we just wrapped up. But if you're feeling unraveled, I think Tara offered to pray for you. I think it'll be a great time to unravel that stuff, but let God ravel you up again the way he wants to. If you're having trouble with the flesh and the way you're processing stuff, see Paul and he'll pray for you. He'd love to pray for you. If you're having struggles with testing and trials and the journey of life, I'm here. Well, I'd love to pray for you as well. Don't let this opportunity go past. I encourage you just to allow God's Spirit to engage with you, to help you along, so that you can live a victorious life and so that God will get the glory that it truly, truly deserves. Let's pray. Father God, we just give you thanks that your word is so amazing divine, and yet it's so plain that we can all put it into action. So Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit activates your word. I thank you that through your Holy Spirit, we have a strong sense of what it is that we should and shouldn't be doing. Lord, we just ask that you give us the strength to allow the Holy Spirit access to more of our life than we already have. Until we're overflowing with the Holy Spirit, it's not enough. We don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of us. And may we just learn to yield in ongoing way everything that should be attributed to you. And you can help us through to live a victorious life that will glorify God. So, Father God, we trust that your Holy Spirit is at work, activating your word, ministering deeply to people's hearts and minds and spirit with the purpose of glorifying you. And we do that through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If the Holy Spirit said anything, the strong sense that I have, and you're all over the place, but the younger set, start now. It's a lot easier to do it now. You can learn a habit a lot easier when you're young than when you're a little bit older, like me. Because you've got to break many habits to get the good habits. But you younger set, can I encourage you to embrace these thoughts, the unravelling, dying to self, handling trials and tribulations properly, so that you can develop the habit of dealing with things well, the habit of being restored. And you will lead a victorious life, and you will in turn lead others to lead a victorious life. Okay. Rod, that song that you... It was the second or third song that had a beautiful bracket about trouble and... They weren't trouble and strife words, but it was the battle, the conviction... do you remember? I'm horrible at words. but in there was a really strong attraction to a phrase or one little verse that was, it was, as you were singing it, as you were playing for it, it was just amazing. It's time to worship. No, I'm not going to read it. Can you play it? Team, if you can help Rod, and because it's a beautiful, and really it's the essence of what we're talking about. Unless we die to self, unless we get re-raveled, unless we handle trials and tribulations, our worship to God is not going to be right. Let it be pure and holy, and see how it goes. Yeah, thanks for figuring it out, Rod. let's just listen. Don't engage with it. Just listen and let it minister to you. If the words can go up on the screen as well, thanks whoever is there. Is that Caleb? Put the words of that song that they're about to play. I think you'll pick up shortly. Thank you. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. You know, God actually knows what he's doing. When I think about the combination of our words, this week, if he's had two stays in her leisure resort that she's getting quite familiar with, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. The ambulance got called in and she's, praise God, everything's okay, but you don't know what's around the corner. Jeremy came round on Thursday and I was desperately trying to offload books and stuff that I had, and then I find out that he's got COVID. Thankfully, I'm not symptomatic. I've had a RAT test and I'm okay. But then Jimmy Varsos lets me know Friday that they're going to unplug his sister, that there's nothing else they can do. And I don't know if you may not know, but she actually has been here in the other building that we were at. Her husband is Louis Vedantis. He's a CRC pastor, and he was pastoring a church at Mansfield Park. So it's just been one of those weeks. And I'm sure that if you multiply that story many, many times, it's been that sort of week for a lot of people. What is it that Jesus wants you to do with so that you can be an overcomer, not just an endurer, not just a sufferer, to be an overcomer? So that you can worship God freely. That's what it's all about. When we worship God freely, our spirit is free. The coffee machine is going to be open. So if you need to have a coffee and a chat, if you need to talk to Tara, Paul or myself, or any one of you, we're all ministers of His grace, ask each other for prayer, for support, and do that. And don't forget, next Friday, 10 to 11 o'clock, combined meeting here. A few of us will be here, and I think it'll be great to support them and to bless them. So may God bless you. Thank you so much for your attention, and may God's Holy Spirit have ministered to you deeply on all three messages. God bless you, and thank you guys for rescuing me.